there. What's the benefit of being one who lets go of victimhood? Is there an energy boost? Is there a power boost? Or is it a mistake to let go of playing the victim? Well, this is a continuation of last week's 1001 Ways of Being to Let Go Of. According to the calibrations of all kinds of victimhood, none are worth holding on to if you intend to have a happier, more fulfilling, and balanced life. But last week, I forgot to talk about the energy of letting go of victimhood. It's this week's 1001 Ways of Being of Higher Consciousness. And because this is a quickie episode, I also will share a heartwarming and true story of my experience this past Saturday with my beloved 11-pound, deaf, and almost blind 16-year-old multi-pool by the name of Dancer. When I first met him, all I felt from him was a Buddha-like energy, loving, wise, observant, and now clearly adventurous. That's this week's episode of 1001 Ways to Being of Higher Consciousness called From Victim to Victor, Unleashing Your Inner Power, plus a true and heartwarming story about my dog Dancer and applying one of my top 10 rules to live by and let the miracles be. But before I get into today's topic, my name is Liz Garcia. I'm your happy host of your weekly dose of higher consciousness and the founder and editor-in-chief of the MindBodySpiritNetwork.com, which brings you this podcast. My intention with these 1001 ways is to introduce you to higher ways of being so you can align yourself and your energy fields with higher consciousness, more authentic power, and a better understanding of truth at all levels. And you don't need all 1001 ways. This is just to give you some ideas to decide what your list of rules to live by can look like. And according to Dr. David R. Hawkins and consciousness research, just one higher level way of being, when applied diligently and consistently, is powerful enough to shift your entire life's trajectory. Today is no exception. So let's get started. Before I get to this week's 1001 way of being of higher consciousness, I want to share a true story about an experience I had this past weekend with my little dog, Dancer. And the reason I want to share it is because it's somewhat miraculous, and it's an example of one of my personal 1001 ways of being to higher consciousness and one of my top list of rules to live by. So here's the story. Last Saturday morning, I took my three dogs on a walk around our neighborhood in Redstone, Colorado. And Redstone, Colorado is a remote mountain town about an hour out of Aspen. We're surrounded by red cliffs, rocky mountains, incredible views, gorgeous streams, and tons of wilderness and wildlife. And I have these small dogs that are hard to see, for one, if they're out and about, you know, on a road for sure. And certainly a lovely little yummy delight for a coyote or wildlife of some sort. So I always have concerns about them in that regard. So in any event, I take my three dogs around the loop before I go to work, and every Saturday I work at a little place called the Redstone General Store. And it's just this idyllic, charming little village near the Redstone Inn in Colorado, and there's the Redstone Castle, and it's like something you remember from your childhood, like going to summer camp, that type of feel to it. And the Redstone General Store is kind of like a Vermont country store. you know, a candy department and ice cream and all kinds of fun things that you can find and souvenirs as you're traveling through Redstone. So anyway, I live a mile up the street from the village, up on a high cliff in a development with about 40 homes, which you can't see because they're all built onto a mountainside. But we have a central meadow and a loop around the neighborhood that I take the dogs on. So when we get near the end of the loop, I usually will cut Dancer loose. And again, remember, Dancer is only a white, little white Maltipoo, deaf and practically blind, but he knows his way around his neighborhood and his home, and he can still kind of see things. So about 100 yards before we get to the house, I like to cut Dancer loose if he's exhibiting signs of wanting to just sprint, because he's a really good sprinter, like a jackrabbit, and I like to give him the opportunity to just do that. So I cut him loose, and typically he'll run down to the driveway and then barrel up the driveway and go home, usually. This day, it didn't happen that way. Dancer bolted like a jackrabbit all the way down the street to a fork in the road where he could have taken a left and gone around the neighborhood again, which I assumed that he would do, or take a right, which would lead him down to a busy highway. Granted, it's still a back country highway. It's still busy on a Saturday morning. So I couldn't chase him. He was out of sight quickly. So I jumped in my car, put the other dogs in the house, and drove down to find him. I drove around the neighborhood once, didn't find him. I went out of the neighborhood to make sure he didn't head down to the highway and down to Redstone, which I assumed that's where he would go next. Didn't find him. And I was concerned that he was so out of sight and I couldn't find him. But I had to get to work, and I knew that Dancer had taken off before. You know, according to my dad, he's taken off and come back an hour or two later. So I'm like, you know what, there's nothing I can do, and I have faith he knows how to find his way home because he's marked every inch of the neighborhood all the way down to Redstone Village and back. So even though I was frightened for him to be on that highway, I couldn't see him anywhere. I couldn't find him. The wilderness in the forest is vast here. And I just had to kind of allow it. Like, there's nothing more I could do. My brother walked around the neighborhood about four or five times to try to find him. He couldn't find him. I walked through the village. And I'm like, you know what? The best thing I can do is go to work, because he might show up in the village, and just let my dad take care of him if he shows up back at home. And he felt like he would. So I'm like, all right. So a few hours pass and still no Dancer. So now I'm getting a little sick to my stomach and worried about him. And this is my list of rules to live by, what I went to right away, because I didn't want to go into fear and doubt, as they immediately surrendered it to God. And the energy of surrendering something to God is 540. I'm pretty sure that's a calibration. And even though it's been hard for me to even say it, I understand the power in doing it at 540. I like to say, do the math. It's like, this is a much superior power than my little worried, fearful self can muster at the moment. So I said, please, God, bring Dancer back to us. And I surrendered it. I'm like, I there's nothing I can do. I'm going to let go and let God essentially surrender to a higher power. Because me, in fear and doubt and worry, is a significantly lower power, below 100 on the map of consciousness, versus surrendering to God at 540. That's a huge leap in power to let go and let God figure out the details of how we're going to get Dancer back to us. So I go to work, and 3 o'clock is rolling around. He's gone 7 hours now. Now I'm really starting to get sick to my stomach and worried, like, how is Dancer going to survive the night? He's old. He gets cold fast. It's getting below 40 at night. And he's definitely not going to see his way home, maybe sniff his way home. But I'm like, where is he? So I left work because I couldn't work. I said, I've got to do something. And I just, you know, a couple of friends suggested walk around the neighborhood again with the other dogs, and maybe Dancer will smell you and come back. So I came home and I walked around the neighborhood again. And when I got back, I noticed a post-it note sitting by the phone. And the post-it note said, "White poodle, redstone marble." A name of a woman named Lisa and her phone number. I'm like, oh my God, somebody spotted Dancer between redstone and marble. And what happened is he left the neighborhood and went the opposite direction I would guess he would have gone, and started to head to another town called Marble, which is 10 miles away. So I'm like, all right, thank God someone saw him, but I'm still concerned because he's on a highway, a busy highway on a weekend with campers and everyone going through at 60 miles an hour. And he's a little guy. So I decide, and my dad said that Brian came home to let us know that someone had called the inn to tell the Redstone Inn at the front desk that they had found a little white poodle between Redstone and Marble. And that's all I knew. And then I started to think, how did this person know to call the Redstone Inn and tell my brother that they saw the poodle? That's what I thought happened. But as it turned out, my brother was at work and he happened to go to the front desk and say, hey, if you see a little white poodle or someone turns him in, it's my sister's. And then the front desk woman, Sherry, said, oh, somebody called here this morning to say they saw this white dog. So that was the story that Brian got from the front desk person. He didn't get all the details. So Brian immediately came home, left the message, and took off to Marble to try to find Dancer. And when I got back from my walk, I jumped in the car too and wanted to go after Brian and do my best to find Dancer as well. Going to that's 10 miles to cover on a highway, but I figured Dancer would probably stay on the edge of the highway because he likes to mark everything along the way. So we drive up to Marble, to no avail. We didn't see my brother Brian, didn't know where he went, what happened. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to call the Carbondale, my local police department, to see if anyone may have reported seeing him there. So I call the Carbondale Police Department and I say, ask them if anyone would call in to say that they've found a missing dog. And she said, where are you calling from? I said, Redstone. She goes, well, they would have been dispatched to Pickens County or Aspen Police Department, because it's a different county. But then she starts to say, but you know what? Wait a minute. There's a woman from Carbondale who called this morning to say she picked up a little white poodle on her way to Crested Butte, which is 2 hours away from where I live. And she picked up the dog between Redstone and Marble. And I'm like, oh my God, she picked up Dancer. And the police officer says, I've got her phone number and her name. You want me to give it to you? I'm like, I think I have it, but please give it to me anyway. Turns out to be the same woman who called the inn. Sherry at the inn didn't understand that she picked him up. She thought he was just spotted. And the police department confirmed that she had picked him up on her way to Crested Butte. She had maybe like a sports event or something with one of her kids against Crested Butte, which is a mountain resort, against maybe a school there. So I was relieved to know that she had picked him up and felt safe, that because she was someone who called the inn to help out and she called the police department. So she covered the bases of how to get in touch with the owner of the dog. So I felt relieved. I'm like, you know what? There's nothing I can do except for call and leave a message. I called her twice and left two messages, and to text her. But I also knew Crested Butte is a remote mountain community with poor cell service, unless you're in town, like it is in Redstone. So again, I could do was let go and let God figure out how we're going to get Dancer back home to us. And I kept praying, oh my God, I just want to see Dancer again. I would be sick if he was out in this wilderness at night, even to survive. So I went back to work. There's nothing more I could do. I'm like, I might as well just go back to work, help out, distract myself until I hear back from this woman. So it's not until about 6:30 that I get a text message back from the woman saying, sorry this took so long, but your message just came through to me. And she said, I left your dog at the Crested Butte Animal Shelter. And I was relieved to hear that because I started to worry that Dancer will bolt on people that he doesn't know. He'll bolt in general. And I can't believe that he even let someone pick him up to put him in a car, as an example. So I was concerned that if she took him out of the car, he would bolt on her. He for sure would have had to have been on a leash. And I was concerned that if he's left in a car all day, he's going to get dehydrated, he's going to get hungry, and he could get overheated, which I'm sure these people would not have allowed that, but I was concerned about them having to take care of the dog, as an example. So apparently, when they got to Crested Butte, the friend that was with them said, you know what, bring the dog to the Crested Butte Animal Shelter, and they did. And I immediately called the animal shelter, and this gentleman with a thick New York accent, I could hear because I'm from New England. I'm like, that is a New Yorker if ever there was one on the other end. And I said, I heard someone found a little multi poo. And he goes, oh my God, we got your dog and we thought someone is really going to be heartbroken if they don't find this dog again. And apparently there was a veterinarian on duty that afternoon, and the vet, you know, took a look at Dancer, and the guy from the shelter said, the veterinarian said, you can tell this dog is loved and cared for, even though he can't see and he's older and he's got no teeth and he can't hear. She knew that, and she told the guy that. So they took him in, they fed him and watered him, and looks like it smells like they gave him a bath after the fact. I'm like, why does he smell so good? So a friend went with me. I brought my other two in the car. And the gentleman said, I said, how late are you open? This is already almost 7 o'clock at night. And he said, you get here before 11:30 and we'll meet you down at the shelter. And it's a 2-hour drive, an hour of it's on a dirt road through the mountain, apparently the largest aspen grove is going through Kebler Pass on the way to Crested Butte. So we just hopped in the car, and my friend and I just chatted the whole time, and she kept me awake, and we got to the shelter around 9 o'clock. We got there faster than I expected, and thank God that dirt road was hard-packed. Usually it's like a friggin' washboard and takes forever to drive, but it wasn't that night. So we got there. My friend took a video of me reuniting with Dancer, who was asleep in this little room by himself. And it was like such a huge relief to see him again. I didn't know that I'd ever see him again. And it truly was miraculous for me. So I appreciated the divine intervention required to put these things together. And I even emailed the woman back. I texted her back and I said, thank you for being the divine intervention for my dog today. And Dancer was a little distraught and disoriented when we picked him up. which was not too surprising, and he was whimpering the whole ride back in the car. And when we got home, he drank for at least half an hour, and we had water and food in the car, but he really just was dehydrated and panicked, and he was whimpering in bed. And I was just so thankful to have him home. And the next morning, he was like a different dog. And that's a whole other story, which I think I'm going to tell now, but it's a pretty good part of the story. So, I've spoken a lot about, I was wondering, how can I pinpoint where Dancer is? How can I get help with this? And I understand the power of applied kinesiology and muscle testing to fine-tune what's going on with Dancer, or find out what's going on with him. And if you've listened to the body code sessions that I've done live and the emotion code sessions I've described, these two methods of getting the truth about something are of higher consciousness and highly effective. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to call Linda, my friend, the certified emotion code and body code practitioner, and see if I can get her help. So I called Linda and I said, first of all, please help me determine if Dancer's close by, if he's okay, what's going on. And does he know his way home? So she got that he was okay, he was fine, he wasn't scared, and he was close to home, essentially. So that kind of relieved me, and I was able to go back to work and not worry about him once I found out where he was. And then I asked Linda to do a body code session on him to clear any energies that created this situation in the first place and anything that would prevent him from coming home safely and finding his way home. So she did a session without me there. She just did it on her own by connecting to the subconscious mind of spirit of Dancer, essentially, and got the answers that he was okay. And then she did a body code session on him, which is super fascinating to read her notes about it and what kind of created the situation in the first place or contributed to it. Not necessarily fully created it, but contributed to it. And she cleared the energy to help get him back home. I really wanted to share that because it's kind of an interesting part of it, just to understand that you can find answer to some with things through applied kinesiology and muscle testing. And that was a huge relief to me, just to kind of have faith and understanding that the power in that methodology is powerful and true to some extent. So we did that as well. And I'm not going to read the notes, but it's very interesting to understand what's going on in his consciousness that would create a situation like this, including stuff like unworthiness, not feeling loved, not feeling wanted, that type of thing. So that's it for the heartwarming story and really a miracle of love for me and my dog Dancer. So let's get to today's main topic, which I forgot to give you the calibration of someone who decides not to be a victim. So, which is kind of like, you know, I told you last week that it makes sense to let go of all kinds of victimhood. It's all below 200. It doesn't serve you and it keeps you stuck in negative attractor fields and destructive ways of being. It's self-sabotage, essentially, to play the victim on any topic. And if you missed that one, I highly recommend you go back to the top 10 ways of knowing you're playing the victim somewhere in your life. That's last week's 1001 Ways of Being to Let Go Of. So, deciding not to be a victim, or opting out of the victim-perpetrator model, is a higher consciousness way of being that calibrates at 210 on the map of consciousness, or 10 to the 210th power. This is Of Higher Consciousness, and I love to share other things that are in the same energy field, because they're very different, but they hold the same energy. So it's just interesting to know what pool you're swimming in when you're deciding to be one, not to be a victim. So this will describe you if you're swimming in this pool on any particular topic. I mean, you could be swimming in this pool on different topics in your life. So someone who is easygoing calibrates at 210, the energy of easygoing. The energy of one who is diligent calibrates at 210. The fictional character Batman calibrates at 210, and I'm pretty sure that was one of my quizzes, one of the higher consciousness quizzes, like the last one I did. Batman was in there, and it's interesting, there's no way that Batman would be considered a victim, right? He's in fact more of an Avenger, really, according to his story, his comic strip story of how he became Batman. But he's not a victim, for sure. He's a do-it. He's a can-do-it kind of guy. He's going to go out there and do what needs to be done. And this is one of my favorite TV series. It's called Outlander, if you've been watching that. It's an awesome story. The energy of that is 210 as well. So that's it for this week's 1001 Ways of Being to Higher Consciousness. Deciding not to be a victim in any area of your life, and be one who is willing to let go and let God, especially when there is not much you can do except pray and hope for the best. So thanks for joining me today. My name is Liz Garcia. I'm your host of your weekly dose of Higher Consciousness podcast. I'll see you again here next week. There, Lovey Lou. If you are new to your weekly dose of Higher Consciousness podcast or an avid listener, I have something just for you. I created a landing page with all of my playlists in one place. So for new listeners, I created a playlist called Foundational Basics. This is where you will want to begin to come up to speed on your understanding of the map of consciousness, a proven energy scale for realizing your ultimate potential by Dr. David R. Hawkins, and with where we are now. For avid listeners, I've created playlists for all of my popular topics like 1001 Ways to Be of Higher Consciousness, 1001 Ways to Let Go Of, those great higher consciousness quizzes that helps you test your intuition and develop discernment skills, tools for transformation, high vibe book recommendations, and my general main topics. You can find all of these playlists on the website at themindbodyspiritnetwork.com/podcast, or you can find it in a link below in the show notes. Now back to today's episode.